Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Ladies and gentlemen, today's Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our Amazon page. Please remember to shop Amazon, and when you do, go to MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon or click the Amazon link on our website. It's the best way to shop and the best way to support this program. Now, on with the show.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Bobby Cannavale.
Good Robert, guy.
Robert Bobby Cannavale is an American actor known for his leading role as Bobby Caffey in the first two seasons of the television series Third Watch. Did anybody watch him on that?
I've seen Third Watch. The only thing I can remember about Third Watch is that when Julia was a baby, Carrie used to stockpile it on the DVR. She'd watch it when she woke up at night.
Ah.
So it was always on in our house, but I never watched it because I was sleeping.
Well, Rob, Oscar, I am looking at a picture of Bobby Cannavale, and I am looking really hard at him to see if there is anything about Bobby Cannavale, if there is any quality that Bobby Cannavale and Mike O'Mara share. Hate to talk about myself in third person.
I think in this situation, it almost it requires
it's warranted.
He was born May 3rd, 1970 in New York, New Jersey, Union City, New Jersey.
All right.
And I'm looking at him, and no, there is absolutely nothing we have in common. He is a very Italian-looking guy with jet black hair and big black bushy eyebrows and an incredibly heavy 5 o'clock shadow beard.
Mm-hmm.
I have graying, sandy brown, bordering on reddish hair, and I have a heavy beard, but it's not the 5 o'clock shadow kind of heavy beard.
Right.
It's not that I could grow a beard in 2 days. There's nothing physically. I bring this up simply because
why the comparison?
And also, well, we should say he's not just on Third Watch. He's on another show that's more current.
Well, Vinyl. He's on Vinyl. And, you know, so that's his big show.
He was also on Boardwalk Empire.
That's right.
Yes. He was he played a big gangster on Boardwalk Empire. I bring this up because on Vinyl, it has become apparent to me that Mrs. O'Mara has taken quite a liking to this particular actor, and it seemed to coincide with a scene with Olivia Wilde when he stepped out of the shower,
yes,
showing his giant Cannavale as he stepped out and said, I gotta dry off.
So it wasn't.
I gotta dry off. And it looks to me. Now, listen, I know actors have used prosthetics in those scenes. I don't believe he was doing that.
Yeah.
And to be honest.
But it's a lens. It's the lens. You know, it makes everything look bigger.
Yeah. And do you
it
think.
Might, it might be.
Yeah, it adds 10 pounds. Yes. Do you think. Do you think it's his physicality that she's attracted to, or the wonderful personality of Bobby Finestra?
There's something, I haven't really delved into it because I've been in the, my jealousy has been so in the way
right.
of this, but I'm looking into him right now. Cannavale was born and raised in Union City, the son of Isabel and Sal Cannavale.
Oh.
Well, I bet Sal had a big schlong too. Probably,
Italian.
Right?
Hey, you know,
yes.
Even the mom might have, you never can tell.
His father is of Italian descent, while his mother is Cuban. What a wonderful cocktail
Cuban
that is.
Cuban-Italian sandwich.
Mm. Wow.
And I misspoke. It's Richie Finestra, not Bobby Finestra.
It's Richie Finestra.
Richie!
Let's Here's see. Some I mean, blow!
Let me see. No acting training. Gained early film roles in Night Falls in Manhattan. The Bone Collector. That's one of my favorites.
Mm.
I like that. Following this in 2001, he starred with Alan Arkin in 100 Center Street. Yes.
You should be getting Hi. Some of that good stuff.
The good stuff.
That's the good stuff. You should be getting
that
good stuff.
Oh, here we go. That was written and directed by Sidney Lumet, his then father-in-law.
Oh, so he married into acting.
Married into roles.
Yeah. Very
but he's
clever.
Good. We can all agree he's talented. He's a talented actor.
Yeah.
My wife is in love with him. And she
love is a strong word.
It is.
Well, what do you call it? She's obsessed with the man. The other night, we were sitting on the couch, and apparently, Bobby Cannavale, I got to dry off with my penis. Bobby Cannavale was on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon, another fabulous talent.
Mm.
And I like Bobby Cannavale. I'm not a big Fallon fan. But the fact is, Carla says, I want you to see something online. She says this to me.
Right.
And I said, what is it? Look, it's Bobby Cannavale. He's on the. And is it Cannavale or Cannavale? I don't know how it's pronounced.
It's Cannavale, I think.
It's Cannavale.
Yeah. Okay.
And I'm sitting there.
Milani, Cannavale.
Cannavale.
Hey, I got to dry off.
Hey, I got to kill dice.
Hey, by the way, Trump is definitely pulling the New York card out.
Oh, my God. Did you see him?
You know, it's just like, he almost sounds like De Niro, you know?
I know.
You don't understand. He's lying. Ted Cruz is lying. He doesn't want to, but he hates you. He doesn't think you belong. He doesn't think you're right.
Anyway, Bobby
it's
Cannavale.
It's good to be home.
It's great where I live. I'm from here, New York.
Bobby Cannavale, so she makes me sit and watch him for 15 seconds. What are you making me watch this for? This is your guy that looks nothing like me, and I'm feeling...
Right.
Look, when you're 56 and you're overweight, you feel inadequate enough. Throw in the Irish penis, and, you know, I'm beginning to... Because as I've stated many times on the show before, G... Not S. Okay.
Very nice.
Figure that out, all right?
Right.
I'm a G, not an S. That's my little modification.
Maddie's so glad she came in today.
Hi, Maddie. Anyway, it's frustrating. It's truly frustrating. And
what if after that you had showed her a video of, say, Kate Upton? You say, hey, I want you to see this.
Because Kate Upton would not be in my top
40. Okay, who would be in your top 10, maybe?
Yeah, who's your go-to?
Who would you show to get back at her in the jealousy way?
Jealousy. The days of me knowing the names of... I know one thing, because Kate Upton has such a big name
yes. That
I know that I don't... There's something about Kate Upton that grosses me out. There's something
about
her.
Do you think she leans a little bit like my body?
A little
like
bit.
She could take that road very easily?
Yeah, I don't think she's taking that road, but she's got kind of the... She just looks like there are supermodels out there that look like they wake up in the morning and they're trying to be supermodels all day.
Okay, what about
when Kate Upton wakes up in the morning, I get the impression she's just like, all right, where's my photo shoot?
I have a friend who saw her hacked iPhone pics.
Yes.
And he said
Is it Schmosker?
He said that she's a good egg. A good egg.
Like a good egg in that there's so many ways we could go with this,
mm-hmm.
Oscar.
Mm-hmm.
She's a good egg in that
he told me that she'll do anything. That's what he told me.
Wow. She needs to dry off.
Anything.
Just out of curiosity.
Yes.
Well, I think she's pretty uninhibited.
Yeah, thank you. That's the right word. That would be the correct word. That's what the word he might have used.
That's really good. That's the way Fred Allen would have said it in 1940.
Just with, you know.
That's a very uninhibited young lady.
So, another, what about, give us your top of mind, the first name comes to mind when you could try to make your wife jealous as she's making you jealous.
Because I have a guess for someone that you might go to.
You know what? Same show.
Oh.
Olivia Wilde.
Yes. Nice. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Olivia Wilde.
With
strong.
Or without her wig.
Strong to the, it doesn't matter. With Olivia Wilde, she could shave her head.
I wasn't talking about her head.
Merkin.
Georgetown graduate. University of Georgetown.
Really? Olivia Wilde?
Georgetown
That's
University,
wonderful.
Yeah.
How about, you know who I would have guessed for you is...
You guys love when we get a window into how Oscar spends some of his
exactly.
time.
Exactly.
You know? Oh, no.
Schmosker, I'm sorry.
I've looked her up before, and just because I didn't know where she came from.
Yeah, wild.
And
wild, baby.
And I looked, and I was like, she went to Georgetown? Like, she legitimately was...
And she's smart, right?
She was trained in the arts formally.
If I wanted to make my wife jealous,
mm-hmm.
and why would I?
Right.
Look at me, look at her. I would tell you this. I would go to that Emily
Blunt?
Ratajkowski.
Oh.
You know the one I'm talking about? The one that did the Blurred Lines video.
Yes. Oh, yes. She's a very handsome lady.
And she was also in Gone Girl.
Mm-hmm. Is she also uninhibited?
Seems to be, but Schmosker Schmantana
I haven't
into her.
I've never. I mean, he's never seen her iPhone hack fix from the
How
cloud.
How does one your friend? And if you could ask them, if you don't know the answer, I would completely understand.
No
this.
Sure,
but your friend. How would he perhaps? Would this be a website that one goes to?
Or
to find
my friend? God forbid the dark web.
I just ran into my friend a few weeks ago, and he said that he is like, "Hey, remember those pics I talked about?" I'm like, "Yeah, man." He goes, "Well, I tried to find them again. I mean, he tried to find them again, and they were gone."
Yeah.
Let me do this while we're having this discussion.
Use private browsing, Mike. Lock your browser.
I'm going to be done with it. I'm going to look up Bobby Cannavale.
You need Tor.
Yeah.
Bobby. No, I'm not doing the women thing.
Okay,
I'm doing Bobby Cannavale.
Do the men thing.
Yeah, do the men thing, Mike.
Nude.
Yeah. Oh,
Bobby Cannavale nude.
Do that to yourself.
Very good.
Just want to just
no
make
way
sure
to start off the day.
It redirects to mattbloom.com.
Yeah, check it out.
Right. Check it out.
Got to dry off.
Oh, that is the worst thing I've ever all day.
I smell like nicotine
seems to
down
be.
There.
Yeah, I got a shower ashtray.
There seems to be, but
my shower is in the shape of an ashtray.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's round.
Let me just say, there is more Bobby... That can't be right.
What?
That's a fake picture. That's Photoshop.
Hey, do you ever check Carla's browsing history?
Browser. Check her browser.
That is not right.
No.
If that's his tattoo, he's doing it. It looks like he's doing something. That's not right. I'm not doing that.
He doesn't have a tattoo, does he?
Mike, tell us what you're seeing.
I'm seeing, I have to say this delicately because we are on broadcast.
Could
radio,
the LAPD it use it to break down doors?
Yes.
Ah. Whoa.
No, it's regular PORN. That's all it is. But it looks like he's holding, and he's finished.
Is it a softball bat or a regular baseball bat?
It's a fungo. To be perfectly honest,
a fungo.
A fungo bat. I don't know.
It's a spongy.
I am really.
Like Nerf, but older.
Girth.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, look at that in the upper right hand corner.
Nerf equals girth.
Virus alert. Good surfing, Mike. Way to go.
It's the Michael Mara Show. You can listen to the Michael Mara Show at www.michaelmaraShow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Michael Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
We keep getting requests, which is true, and we talk about our orchestra or our band.
Orchestra?
No, it's a band. We have
What is the difference between a band?
We have no strings.
Is that true, Doc?
Oh, yes, we have.
We don't have any strings tonight, do we? I'm not talking about guitar. I'm talking about violins or
cello. Well, there are strings on that guitar, though. You can't leave them out.
Night for 11 and a half years. I've been saying who was on the show, right?
Right.
Doc Severinsen and the NBC Orchestra.
Right.
For 11 and a half years, you've let me make this mistake and you never corrected me before tonight?
You have a finish for this? Or are you just
But are you saying that's not an orchestra? Why isn't it an orchestra? You haven't answered my question.
Oh, well, it sounds better. Doc Severinsen and his orchestra rather than Doc Severinsen and his band.
Why do you keep saying it in a chintzy way? Go first class. If I say in the front of the show, the NBC Orchestra, people tune in expecting to see the NBC Orchestra. Now you're going to introduce a band, they'll think some people went home.
There are going to be some people going home. Very sure. Sit down. Horns up. What are you going to do tonight, Doctor?
Well, we're going to stand around and wait till you guys decide if we're a band or an orchestra.
What would you prefer to be called?
Sweetheart.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his easy chair, here's Mike.
Hi, everybody.
Coming
to you live from the Cappy Fiverr Golden State Warriors studio in the heart of our nation's capital. It's really not the Golden State Warriors. Mike O'Mara Show does not take any level of it. Washington, D.C., this is the Mike O'Mara Show on the air and online worldwide. The Mike O'Mara Show, a daily radio show and podcast with the greatest listeners on the planet because they get it. And if you're here, you do too. Our show today brought to you by Tracker.
Tracker.
I love Tracker.
So
Tracker
cool.
is wonderful. It's about the size of a quarter. You clip it onto your keys. You put it in your wallet. It finds anything you lose. It is a wonderful device. Yes, Oscar Santana.
Mike, today I had to pay to park, and the Somalian gentleman took my keys because I didn't have cash on me. And I said, that's okay. My tracker's on them.
What? Yeah, so you'll know. And the thing about it is when we say tracker, it's not just like finding it in your garage.
No.
If your buddy at the parking garage decided he wanted to take a trip across town because he had inadvertently had your keys fall into his satchel.
Oh, he's on his way to Tunisia. Bet on it.
With the crowdsourcing GPS,
yes. Mm-hmm.
They can find it anywhere he takes it, so you would be able to track him down. This is even if they get in the back of an Uber and take a trip across town. You'd be able to find where your keys
Absolutely.
Are. You leave them at the beach. You do this. Tracker is fantastic.
Tracker.
All you do is pair it with your smartphone, attach it to anything, and find its precise location. And here's the other good part. If you lose your phone, you can go in the other direction, and it can find your phone by pressing a button on Tracker that will ring your phone even when it's on silent. TMOS listeners get a special 30% discount off their entire order. Just go to thetracker.com and enter the promo code TMOS. That's thetracker.com. The hardest thing you'll ever have to find is their website. Go to thetracker.com now, and that's T-H-E, thank you, and use the code TMOS for 30% off, thetracker.com, code TMOS. Well, have I been waiting for this.
What, to see
is
us
a
again?
Labor of love. No, of course not. No.
It's nice to see you.
Trust me. But anyway,
easy.
The thing. Yes,
we're nice, right? Nice.
Yes, you're both fine. But anyway, so the Masters for years and years, I've done, back on the old Don and Mike days, I've done a shtick about Jim Nantz.
Yes.
and the intro to the Masters because it's so flowery and it's so schmaltzy. We have also had a relationship in the past with Jim Nantz, who has come on the old Don and Mike show. I did not maintain that relationship after it was the Mike O'Mara show. Maybe if I'd done that, I'd still be.
You did once. You interviewed him about his book. You interviewed him about a book about his dad. I remember
I didn't have him on.
Do you know?
I know there were a couple of times when he wanted to come on. And,
yeah, he pursued us.
And because he was promoting things.
Yeah.
And he's a great guy to talk to. But we would, along with having the, you know, it was primarily because of the NFL, along with having him on the show, we'd bust his chops a little bit because he was so very Nancy.
Yeah.
And when I say that, I mean N-A-N-T-Z-Y.
It got to a point where he would be called Nancy when he was on the show. Like, because, I mean, because, you know, it was.
You had that relationship.
Yeah. How you doing, Nancy? Yeah.
Because over the years, we picked up on the fact that maybe he had some insecurities, as everybody in show business does. But he was funny about it. And it was just, here we were, two lame disc jockeys talking to Jim Nantz. And his personality was so quirky that it was fun to talk to. And we'd make fun of his broadcast style because he loves the drama. And if there isn't drama, he loves to inject the drama.
He was almost a little Ted Baxter-y. He would love to take it over the top, but he was self-aware of it. He loved the fact that he could do that. I remember we would interview him on a Friday, and often we'd say, "How does the spotlight game look on CBS this weekend?" And he would say, "Well, I've almost finished writing the open."
Yeah.
I mean, and that would be
those were the clues.
Yeah. 48 hours out, he'd be talking about, there's a story about, you know, there's Tom Brady is quite a story. And he would go into it like that.
There are two kinds of broadcasters in this particular category. People that will say, yeah, I love what I do. It's great. I'm blessed to do it. It's something that, you know, and they won't go on and on about. There are other broadcasters that will say, well, I'm toiling away at this, right, that. When the fact is, when the microphones are open, it's a lot of off the cuff. It's a lot of ad-libbing. It's a lot of preparation, but preparation to be spontaneous.
Right.
Where Jim would make, here's the issue I have with Jim Nantz. I think sometimes what we might consider to be not that big a deal, he turns into something a lot more.
He's selling it.
And that he's seems selling, to right? be, he's selling it, perhaps he is. Yeah, well, 100% selling it. That can be either selling at Oscar or it can be ego gone mad.
Yeah.
And the fact is, Jim Nantz, a couple of weeks ago, had an article appear in Golf Digest, which I was reading on texture one day.
Right.
And I see Jim Nantz, and it's their Masters issue, and I get excited.
So it's every year.
I'll dive into it. And as I'm reading it, I started laughing because there's so many pompous little quotes in here that just tickled me, and I thought, it, as opposed to doing my regular satire on Nantz, I would share this article out of Golf Digest.
So this is not,
which has a couple of gems, not a lot, but it's got a lot of stuff. But there are a couple of real wonderful gem stories in here that I thought I'd have to share with you.
So this has not been augmented or changed in any way. This is
all I have
stuff.
Done is I have left out things about his dad because I don't think that's fair, and he lost his father, and I don't think that's cool to make fun of. But I have danced around that, and I think there's plenty of material in here from the Golf Digest Jim Nantz article entitled Jim Nantz, Masterful Storyteller. And it's also, the bottom part is, on the joy of burnt toast, traveling 245 days a year, and the best Master's gift.
God.
So what this is one of those articles where he writes it like a ghostwriter book with, it's Jim Nantz's words with Guy Yoakam, who's a famous writer. And I'll just, it dives right in.
Excellent.
Hello, friends. I've had fun with that expression to satisfy the cynics, but it comes from the heart.
Oh!
And I don't. This is the first sentence. This is the first sentence. But it comes from the heart, and I don't apologize for it.
Oh, God.
Why would you need to apologize for saying hello, friends? Jim, we know what you're doing. It's transparent. Stop it.
Well, at least, Mike, he's not putting too much importance on something.
Now, this is sweet, what he says at the end, but the fact that I'm putting it into Jim Vance's mouth, for some reason, it makes me chuckle, and you might think I'm a horrible human being,
no,
but
no,
here
no.
goes. I've heard it said, But the average person is lucky to have only a handful of true friends in their lifetime. Well, I sincerely feel I've got millions.
Right. Whoa.
Now, what he's doing there is he's taking the viewers
and making them his friends.
I consider us lucky to have the audience that we have. I love reaching out and meeting people. I would think if I referred to them all as my personal friends, it might be a little a-hole-ish.
Will you entertain a question? At any place in the article, does he mention his particular habit he has with neckwear? Because there's one story we
left out. I don't think so. I'm not sure that you could maybe, you know,
I know exactly what you're talking about.
At the end of every broadcast.
At the final four where he wants to force the necktie. That happened this week, too.
Yes.
Where he wanted to give the guy, kind of had to force the tie on him.
Yeah. And also,
he always talks about giving his neckties away.
At the Masters, I give my necktie to a child. Yes. That's what he told us.
A young golf fan.
Someone who's enthusiastic about the game.
Giving him my necktie will hopefully spark an interest.
Hey, this necktie smells like little boy.
Moving on.
Smooth young boy.
John Wooden once told me, I would rather believe in people and be disappointed some of the time than never believe and be disappointed all the time.
Oh, God. It's like a Jerry Lewis thing.
That pretty much sums up my outlook on people and life. Here we go.
Oh.
On the other hand, there's a little Jack Nicholson in Five Easy Pieces in me.
The last movie he saw in a theater.
I'm a breakfast guy. 3 eggs scrambled with bacon and wheat toast burnt. The problem is, it never came back burnt. For years, it would arrive limp and tan. Now, this is just after he has told us about how he loves all men and everything is just fine.
Yeah, hello,
this
friends.
Is the counterpoint, I guess, to... I think maybe he thought it would be okay. Well, if you're doing this, you do think it's okay. Let me finish the story.
And also, Mike, I think he probably feels it humanizes him.
The problem is it never came back burnt, my toast. For years, it would arrive limp and tan, which brought breakfast to a standstill when I sent the toast back.
What a horse's ass.
Okay, hold on. God. Here we go.
Yeah.
It was costing me 10 minutes a day. Which, multiplied by 6 days a week, is 4 hours a month. That's 48 hours. 2 full days per year.
I did the math on my Nance phone.
My friends, time is currency.
Oh, Jimmy.
My wife, Courtney, got tired of hearing me complain about it. She found a photograph on the internet of a kitchen toaster ejecting 2 slices of burnt toast. She minimized it, printed it out, and had it laminated. She insisted I put it in my wallet. When I order, I present the photo to my server. I get some strange looks, but I can assure you the toast now arrives black and scary.
And full of spit.
Yeah. Those germs.
Just the way I like it.
Oh, all right, Courtney. So Courtney, we've decided Courtney is not the first Mrs. Nance.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I don't believe so.
No,
no. She's
been some troubled waters there, but hey, who am I to throw stones?
That's true.
After I shot 70 in Utah one day, my pals talked me into entering the U.S. Amateur Public Links. Yes, that's right. Jim would not be so egotistical that he would do it on his own.
Come on, Jim. You should do it. You should.
That's right.
No, I don't think
no,
I should.
Jim. Boys, I can't. I can't. No, Jim,
but Jim,
do it.
You
Jim,
just
do
shot
it.
2 under par.
I don't keep score.
So they talked me into playing in the U.S. Amateur Public Links. Good call until the late Hot Rod Hundley, the former Lakers great and fellow announcer for the Utah Jazz back then, insisted on caddying for me.
Insisted.
Yes, insisted.
Oh, Jim.
Insisted.
Please, please let me carry your bag. I'm also a broadcaster and probably every bit as good as you, but let me carry your things.
After an early couple of bogeys, Hot Rod, in his full-on hyper way, started getting on me. What was that? Let's go. Get with it. You'll never shoot 70 playing like that. You can't talk to a golfer that way. I fell apart.
Oh, Jim.
Shot a million and felt terrible that I disappointed Rod. Notice he doesn't feel terrible
no.
for himself.
No.
No. Because he's that kind
he's
of guy.
He's like down Rod, who's been carrying right. that bag for holes and holes and holes.
He finished That's... the game tan and limp like that toast.
Now, there's Freddie Couples in the article. There's a lot of name dropping. There's name dropping.
They were roommates
the biggest,
in college.
The biggest golfer. I played a great deal of golf with Arnold Palmer, including a memorable round at Augusta National in May of 2010. Arnold hit a good drive, but he hit his second shot short and right. His pitch went to the back of the green. From there, he three-putted. He made a six. As he was coming out of his knee bend from retrieving his ball from the cup, one of the guests brandishing a scorecard said, "What did you make, Arnold?" Arnold gave me a quick telling glance that said, "Help me out there. You, this may be, for me, a golf fan, the biggest, you pompous ass."
Like he Arnold is not selling out Arnold Palmer,
He's
is
selling
he?
Out on a cut. He said, help
oh,
me
the
out
most
there.
Maybe the most beloved man in the history of the game.
Man.
As we walked to the 11th tee, I suggested to the other guests that he ride with Arnold for a while. Then, to the fellow who had the scorecard in his hand, I said quietly, "Just my 2 cents, but I played a lot of golf with Arnold, and we never keep score." At this stage of Arnold's life, any round, especially here today, is so much more enjoyable when it isn't being recorded for posterity. Well, you just told us the score in a national publication, you douche!
It's like
that's the douchiest
I'm
part of the
I'm such
article,
a good guy. Let me tell you what I did for Palmer.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And then in that story, he is doing exactly what the guy with the scorecard was going to do. I don't doubt that you wouldn't want to, you know, he's getting on in years. You don't want to, like, pay attention to that with Arnold.
Hi, this is Jim Nance, and I'd like to make a donation. I prefer to remain anonymous.
Yeah.
And that's N-A-N-T-Z, comma Jim.
Just my 2 cents, but I played a lot of golf with Arnold, and we never keep score at this stage of Arnold's life. Any round, especially here today, is so much more enjoyable when it's being when it's not being recorded for posterity. The man understood, and we never saw the scorecard in pencil again.
That's right. And
first
never,
of all,
and we never saw the man again either because Arnold had him killed.
Who's keeping the score? Some guy following them with a score? I mean, I don't
it's
get the
It's a Secret
whole story.
Service.
It was Stephen Douglas McIntyre.
Then he goes into prognostication, and he likes Phil, of course.
Of course.
He likes, that's his kind of guy.
Yeah, he likes Phil. A doughy, boring, second-place golfer.
Okay, so Phil Mickelson will win the 2019 U.S. Open at Pebble Beach.
Oh,
now he just makes that declarative statement there.
Sure.
Says, I'm so confident of that, I wish I could transplant that belief into Phil's mind. So now he's getting into Phil's head.
Well, what this
like
is,
a
you know what?
Psychologist.
He's saying F you to that guy that caddied for him because you can't talk to a golfer like
can't
that.
Can't do it.
No.
Right. So
not
he's
hot
pissed
rod.
The caddy off. He's pissed the caddy off. He's pissed Arnold Palmer off. Now he's going to go on to piss Phil off because he's saying Phil's not mentally tough. That's basically what this is saying, Jim Nance. You're saying the guys you cover out there while you're in a broadcast tower and they're making all the shots. He says, I'd like to transplant that belief into Phil's mind so he also believes it's a foregone conclusion. He then could play the next 3 U.S. Opens believing he already has one under his belt. Freed of that burden, he then could win a championship between now and Pebble in 2019 and finish his career with at least 2. See how my mind works?
Oh, yeah. Fix
oh,
it.
Thank you, Jim.
Fix
thank
it. You, fix it for you. Phil Mickelson.
He's thinking 3 years ahead of everybody else.
That's right. Right. His yes. toast has already been burnt
That's
for 96 hours.
Because he's got that picture.
I have
That's
it
how
laminated.
His mind works. That's how his mind works. Now, there's an amateur that there's a lot of talk about. This guy, Bryson DeChambeau.
Okay.
And he won the college singles championship, and he won the U.S. amateur. A very, very significant feat in amateur golf. So he mentions him. Jim's attaching to him right here.
Of course.
Here's how it goes, okay? To me, this is a giant name drop, even though the guy hasn't really done anything in the
right.
pro ranks. Bryson DeChambeau. The reigning U.S. amateur champion came by my house recently.
Ooh. Oh!
Casey Reamer, the head pro at Cypress Point and a mentor to Bryson, asked if I would speak to him about the history of the Masters.
What?
Could you imagine that kid? He's like, yeah, I'll go. Oh, God. Now, apparently this guy studies the game of golf, but
whoa.
Can you imagine? I was asked, speak to him about the history, Jim. Well, sit him down and help this, help formulate this young lad.
It's important because you know that this young lad has not got a device in his pocket that he could type the masters into and get the entire history on his phone.
It's in Monterey. Right. Is that the type of cash that Nance has?
That's where he's, I think it's where he's hanging his hat now.
Wow.
I think so, because there's a... there's a picture of Jim in his wine cellar.
Whoa!
There he is. Jesus.
Yes, there he is, yes. And look at even the pose.
Actually,
it's just, come on, what happened to our old Jim Nance? Come on.
You know, that's not wine he's drinking. That's the blood of Arnold Palmer.
It's just so disturbing.
Nice red.
It is so disturbing. Okay, now we move on to this week, which is the Masters. And that's the whole point of why we're doing this right now. This is Jim talking about the business of broadcasting and being Jim.
Okay,
right?
You may want to get a pencil. Get a pencil.
Before and after every Masters, I take time to reflect.
God.
On Wednesday of Masters Week, at around 2 p.m., my burnt toast is digested. On Wednesday of Masters Week, at around 2 p.m., I quietly slip out and walk slowly down to Amen Corner. I linger there, gazing at the pines and the setting. I feel the ground with my feet. I absorb the spirit of it all. 5 days later, on Monday when it's ended, I drive over to Augusta National, get a cup of coffee, and watch some groups tee off number one. I'll look down the 18th fairway. I kind of tie a bow on everything.
Oh.
And then head for my car and the drive to Hilton Head. Thanks for sharing that, Jim.
God.
Thank you so very much.
And you know what I love the fact is he's giving the impression that he's like cuffed his pants and is walking barefoot on Amen Corner. You know he's got hard shoes on. He doesn't feel the ground beneath his feet.
He's going
jerk.
Like everyone else, I take home a few trinkets to give out as gifts throughout the year.
Stolen there from Arnold Palmer.
So he's talking about gifts he gets at the like everyone else. He's just a common man. He's got some souvies that he wants to share.
A little remembrance.
Like everyone else, I take home a few trinkets to give out as gifts throughout the year. There are these miniature Masters-themed golf clubs that make the perfect baby gift.
What?
Okay. The best item of all are these 3D Christmas tree ornaments that are shiny little replicas of the Augusta National Clubhouse.
You want to make sure not to give them to a Jewish friend.
Here we go.
Because they're for Christmas.
I've never given a holiday gift that is more appreciated. Thank you, Jim. That's terrific.
He is really garbage,
isn't he? A nice
you
man?
Can't play Cypress Point without a member there, right?
Right, right.
So you just can't do that. And I'm reading here on the article, Golf Vacation Insider says that they rarely allow you to play even when you have a member with you as a guest.
Oh, yes.
There are only 200 members of this golf course.
Oscar, it is rarefied air.
Jesus Christ.
Only a few can be. So I believe he
is now. But they keep the price of the pimento cheese sandwiches at $1 and a quarter.
Now he talks about his new world, his new woman and his new babies and all the stuff. Hey, listen, man wants to start a new life. I can't begrudge him that. You know, we can wrap it up right now.
Okay, go ahead. I just didn't know where you were. Okay.
The amount of travel I do, I was gone 245 days last year, flying net jets when I'm in Denver and West.
Net jets?
Yes.
Like a private jet?
Private air. That's what
he's saying. He's telling everybody he just flies on private jets everywhere.
You're missing the point. He's away from home. You're supposed to be sad.
Yes. The amount of travel I do, I was gone 245 days last year, flying net jets when I'm in Denver and West. Commercial for everything east of that.
Of course.
That would be too much if my family didn't travel with me. For everything from the Final Four on, my wife Courtney, daughter Finley, 2, and son Jameson, 2 months.
Jameson?
Hey, he's got a baby, too. He's an old guy with a baby. 2 months come. My son Jameson, 2 months come Masters Week. Go with me. And so does my oldest daughter. I think that's from the previous marriage.
Gotta be.
Caroline, when she's on break as a student at USC.
My daughter Caroline, who just turned 58.
Here's a stat for you. Finley flew to her first Masters at 23 days old, and by her 19th month had made 100 flights. A neat side benefit, She rarely gets those sicknesses that children do.
Oh,
she's
what?
Built a terrific immune system.
Oh, jeez.
She doesn't get sick because she's in a bubble.
A corporate jet bubble. The ear infections have paid off tenfold.
Is this the 25 break?
Yeah, we're a little
bit late.
Oh, my
God. All right, let me wrap it up when we come back.
All right.
I will finish he ends with a thought about his child.
Ah, nice.
And then and a few other things about
super
broadcasting.
Immune.
When we come back with the Mike O'Meara Show.
Hi there. This is Lev with a very hateful thought of the day. I hate podcasts where the names are misleading and have nothing to do with any of the content. Don't tell me your podcast is called Cake and Cookies. Well, clearly, the only thing that's about Cake and Cookies are the nicknames of the host. I hate it when I'm looking for a great recipe and the only thing I hear is them talking about Elvis, their dogs, and their family. How am I supposed to bake that? And what's about these dinosaurs in the garden? Or that mailbox tied up with a string. Or even that toilet overflowing the entire floor. Do you really think my wife likes to wait for all those cookies that never will be baked? I hate it when I'm hooked on a great podcast. And you? I hate you too.
Wow.
Do you need
Wolf?
No. Better than
who
that.
Who the hell was that?
That is a guy named Lev Nedkoff.
Oh,
his name is Mike. He lives in the Netherlands. He's Dutch.
Wow.
That is
he
cool.
He accidentally found this show through Cake and Cookies, which he also accidentally found, and he's learning, it's helping him with his English. He's actually coming to town in a month or so.
Cool.
I can't wait to meet him. But he's Dutch, and he wrote that promo and produced it in English for us.
Wow.
That's great.
Pretty cool,
wow.
Huh?
I love that. Welcome back to the Mike O'Meara Show, brought to you by FanDuel. Hey, sports fans, the MLB season started on Sunday. Yes, baseball is here. Like the Red Sox, the way they started the season.
Yeah.
Like the fact that they were hitting on all eight with the starting pitching, the relief pitching, and the hitting. Liked all of it. Liked the beginning. Liked their chances. Liked the way they look. Hey, sports fans, listen up. There's a whole new reason to play one-day fantasy baseball on FanDuel. It's because FanDuel is the best way to experience sports, period. With FanDuel, you don't just watch your favorite team. You get to create your own. Think about it. You, your friends, the games, the adrenaline. I promise you, baseball has never been this much fun. You can play against your buddies or test your skills against other players. FanDuel makes any sport that you are watching more fun.
Of course.
We know that. We've done it for years. FanDuel has contests for everyone, from the casual fan to the expert. And, oh, yeah, you can win money while you're at it. You've got to experience the fun and the excitement to really get it. Try FanDuel today. It changes the experience of watching sports. It
100%.
Really, really does. I think you're going to love it. Enter a FanDuel league now, and if you don't win any prize in your first contest, they'll refund your entry fee up to $10 back to your FanDuel account so you can play more. Just deposit, play, and if you don't win, they'll refund your first entry fee up to $10. Go to FanDuel.com and use the code TMOS. That's FanDuel.com. Promo code TMOS. This is FanDuel, the best way to experience sports. It makes it better.
It's cool.
You'll find that out when you try that. All right, so we're going to wrap this up because the article is a brief one, and I cherry-picked some stuff from this, and it really is, it's just funny. Jim Nance gets a lot of crap about the flowery narration that he does at the end. So he writes this: have I planned an exclamation for the end of a tournament in advance?
Oh boy.
Okay, like that question even needs to be. We've already speculated that he's got like a dossier of it.
Of course.
You know, where he's right, where you're at. Well, that depends, he says. When Tiger carried a 9-shot lead into the final round in 1997 and it was clear he was going to win, I imagined his final putt being played 50 years down the road. You know, the thing about this is, here's where I really step off from these guys that are calling the game. Yes,
right.
There is an art to it. I respect the talent it takes to do it. I respect a great moment in sports being accentuated and not diminished by a broadcaster. But with that said, enough of how special you are. It's the athletic
achievement. Don't insert yourself into it. You don't belong there.
When Tiger carried a 9-shot lead into the final round in 1997, it was clear he was going to win. I imagined his final putt being played 50 years down the road. There had to be a line that summarized that for posterity. Once again, that's fine and dandy, but also, no, it's posterity based on the fact that he won by 9 shots.
Exactly.
Thank you. That's how a win for the ages came about. And I did plan it starting on Saturday night.
Oh, Jim! Jim, well done, Jim.
When a sports writer rather cynically asked if I planned it out, I said, "You bet your life I did."
Oh.
When you saw Tiger was going to win, did you not think of your lead paragraph hours in advance, or did you wait until the last putt fell before you started to consider it? I mean, come on!
Yes, go F yourself, Bert Sugar.
He's a little pissy.
He is.
Truly a little pissy right there. And then he goes, the idea is to let yourself be pulled into the story. No.
No.
I beg to differ. The idea is for you to let the story unfold with minimal interference. That's the way I would approach sports broadcasting.
Take a page from Vin Scully, who knows when to not talk. It's the hardest thing in the world, but that's what's a pro.
But look, with all due respect to Nance, he feels like if he doesn't break the story the way he wants to, then the story is not a story.
He doesn't paint the picture the way that it's not relevant.
It's not relevant.
Right.
Look, you have to be there, and I think important words can be said. And look, it's been done by sports. Do you believe in miracles, Al Michaels? Everybody knows sportscasters can do this, and it's but let's, you know, just do it.
But Al Michaels has talked about that moment, and it was natural.
It yeah.
He didn't write that script out.
It was spontaneous.
Yes.
It was organic, which kind of falls into sports. Otherwise, you make an attempt to shoehorn some drama into a situation that might not be dramatic, thank you.
Going to get my tie.
That's right. A tie for the ages.
So I disagree with that. I truly disagree.
Smells and, like Smooth Boy.
He talks about joining Smooth Mac Boy. Playing gently with his video game. So here's the last paragraph of Jim Nance, masterful storyteller.
So this is, as he says, Mike, this is putting a ribbon on it?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, he said this to us before, that he wants to broadcast for a certain amount of time.
Yes, exactly.
That, remember? Mm-hmm. This is the last putt. Now, remember his little boy, his 2-month-old, is named Jameson.
Jameson.
I assume not named after the whiskey.
No, probably named after a wine.
Oh, probably a... there's a part about the wine in there.
Oh, does he talk about his wine cellar?
Yes, he talks about his wine. Why did I miss that? Come on, Michael. There's a lot of stuff.
He doesn't make wine, does he?
I tried to get it all, Rob.
I understand.
I think he sells his own wine.
That's for some reason, yes.
He does, Oscar. He sells his own wine.
Foot crushed.
Yes.
Of course, my daughter Caroline, I had her stomping grapes at age 5.
Oh, I've lost the wine part.
These feet, those grapes.
Oh, my God.
Purple toes.
She never gets sick because of the wine stomping. The vitamin C from the grapes seeping in through her small Nance toes have kept her healthy. Never an ear infection.
Some say that grapes are acidic.
I got it. Yay.
You found it?
During the AT&T in 2014, I put on a dinner in the basement of the Sardine Factory on Cannery Row in Monterey. I've been by there. I know it's a beautiful spot.
Wow, that sentence has been said 1,000 times.
Phil Mickelson was still traveling with the claret jug, and we filled it with a nice Pinot Noir from my line of wine.
Ah! Oh, I found the name. I'll let you do it.
The Calling.
Yes!
The Calling.
Oh, no!
That's the name of... That's the Calling. When the cup got to Nick Faldo, who has won 3 of those cups, he paused and said, "I've never done this before." He laughed, shrugged, and took a couple of swigs like everyone else. He was giddy. The exact opposite of the Nick we knew in the early 90s, his changeover from complete golfer and obsessed one into a complete person... is the most incredible personal transformation I've ever witnessed. Thanks, Jim. I'm glad you think that.
Jim.
I think that's it. So, yes, the wine, my Pinot Noir. Drink up, fellows, from my line of wine.
Bubba Watson could use that wine.
The claret jug.
Oh, Bubba Watson's got some more issues, even after the 60 Minutes. Did you see that? Where he?
I saw the 60 Minutes. I was like, whoa.
Yeah, so the other day, right? So he's trying to transform the image,
yes.
Right?
Yes, can you tell everybody the image? They probably don't have context.
Bubba Watson in golf circles, and you know, anybody that watches golf, has a reputation as being kind of a dick.
Right.
And he's, you know, he's chewed out his caddy on TV. He's been whiny and petulant on TV. And so he's got that. And then he comes out and he says, well, I'm kind of afraid of people. And they kind of softened his image on 60
Phobia.
Minutes. So flash forward to the par 3 competition. The guy hits a hole in one, goes over to hug his caddy, then goes over to hug Bubba, and Bubba doesn't even react to it.
Ooh.
It was a weird.
He doesn't like to be touched.
Reaction.
Yeah,
it's a very weird.
Don't touch
weird
me.
Reaction.
The claret jug, Mike, is that from the U.S. Open? I'm trying to remember which trophy that's from.
The claret jug is the British Open.
The British Open.
It's
okay.
The British Open.
Right. Fill it with the Calling.
All right, hold on just a second.
For some reason, every time I hear
all
trophies,
my papers are
I think of
everywhere.
Revenge of the Nerds and that, the Greek Olympics.
Yes, exactly.
Yes, and Lamar holding up the trophy.
So he talks about the fact that during his last coverage of the Masters,
right.
he will talk about the fact that he calls the last game and his son Jameson, he congratulates on winning the 2000 whatever it is Masters, and then says goodbye, friends, and then he will hang it up once his son wins the Masters. That is Jim.
Oh, Nance. That's when he's going to hang it up.
That's yeah. When he's
good luck.
Hang it up. Yeah, good luck.
Oh my God.
Yeah, he started writing that already. As a matter of fact, but he said, yeah, he would retire.
A lot of paper here, guys.
I understand.
A cipher here,
and it's going to take a lot of timing because for it to all work out, Jameson has to retire. He has to win the 50th Masters that Jim covers.
Yeah.
So there's going to be a lot of pressure at Thanksgiving
also,
that year.
Also, he's got to become a world-class golfer.
Oh, that's the hard. And also, Jim has to choose a tie.
Right, absolutely.
It's got to be a good one.
I know I speak for everyone here on the Mike O'Mara Show. We've loved the access to you over the years, Jim. So have a good call of this year's Masters, ass. Thank you. Thank you very much. We'll be right back with more fun and more thrills on the Mike O'Mara Show. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. So, do you like what you're hearing? Well, if you like this, you will love our bonus shows. Each and every week, we record a sixth episode of the show, uncensored, commercial-free, and it can be yours if you subscribe to the 2006 TMOS bonus package. Subscribe for a full year of bonus, and you'll get full access to all the 2016 bonus content and access to the entire anthology. You save over 25%, all waiting for you at MikeO'MaraShow.com. Look for the banner marked TMOS bonus packages, and if you've been holding back just because we're already a few months into the year, don't you fret. When you subscribe, you get an entire year of access from the day you sign up.
Exactly.
With our special feed creator, you can even access your content from iTunes or pretty much any other podcast app in town. It couldn't be easier, so whether you want to buy it, give it, or renew it, click that bonus banner and get her done, the TMOS bonus package. Order it today. Well, I am just exhausted after Mr. Nance. But that's him. And I just, when anybody believes their own press that much, I mean, come on.
Yeah, okay? it's gotten a little more.
Nobody's keeping you honest.
Yes, yeah, right. I know. Somebody's blowing some smoke and, you know, with the whole thing. And I love Jim Nance. He was wonderful to us on the Don and Mike show. And he's a nice guy. And I would bust his chops if he was on the show today. He's funny that way, but it's just, you know, come on.
It's different. It's different seeing it in print than it is hearing him say it with no way to counter it. Yeah.
You cannot pretend to be the everyman when your quirks are so kind of really strange that you need to carry around a picture, not of your kids, but of your toast.
Your toast. But here's the thing. But here it is. Isn't this business, and this pivots me to my next subject here, with Anthony Kamiya going into rehab and how squirrely this business is.
Yes.
Yeah. I believe that this business of show, and it can be all the way at the top of the mountain, being a movie star, to the bottom rung, being a guy that goes out and works at a Holiday Inn playing records, you know, or playing music. I think this business, when you have to be on, I think it creates a different kind of joy and a different kind of agony. I think it does. And, you know, this week, I think with Nance, you're talking about, listen to that, 245 days on the road.
Yes.
And, you know, constant the pressure of national television.
He's got his family with him.
He's got his family.
On a private jet.
But it's still, would you not agree, Oscar, that you've been around the business and it's a little squirrely?
Well, yeah, it takes a toll like any job. But that I think, to be fair to a lot of guys in this business, that the reason why you fall into some sort of abuse, right, whether it be alcohol or drugs, it's not necessarily because the pressure's so high and it's just so demanding. It's because people forgive you for a lot of S that you do because you're a celebrity.
Yeah.
They don't call you on your BS. They just don't.
I think that is a contributing factor, and I will tell you that in my particular circumstance, having somebody around me, my wife, who keeps me straight. Not that I'm going to fall into a heroin addiction, but I will tell you this.
Well, not
that
again.
I think, looking back at my career, there are moments where, you know, and this goes with athletes and movie stars, you have so many people blowing smoke up your ass all the time that it creates a difficult environment. But and it's not the pressure, Oscar, as much as the idea.
It's accepted more.
But it's the idea for me Yes. The toughest thing when things are not going well is the idea of public exposure. And that's not pressure as much as that reality changes your responsibilities. Does that make sense?
It's an added layer to what people have to deal with on a daily basis.
Yeah.
You mean, all told, every celebrity, no matter how much smoke they have blown, no matter how many yes men and sycophants they have around them, they've still got to deal with real life. And then there's the added layer.
Before we go on, let me just make my point about Kumia.
All right.
Anthony Kumia, Opie and Anthony. We had a great DJ war with Opie and Anthony. And later on, he had a big falling out with Opie, and he got into trouble in New York, and he made some racist stuff online, and they fired him.
Yes.
I'm saying to you that in the case of a guy like Anthony that comes from a background where he wasn't in broadcasting, he kind of fell into it with this guy, Greg Hughes, Opie, and they started working together. I'm saying I think a lot of where this guy ended up is due to this business of show, okay? I think it happened to him over the years. I don't think that, I would say that he probably was a hell of a lot more normal at the beginning. He might have still had the racist stuff. He might have had the proclivity for substance abuse. But this, I will say it's a pressure cooker of the business of show for the reasons you said. Smoke blowing up the butt and all that. Didn't it seem like it probably screwed him up a little more? He announced on a white supremacist website or blog or show or podcast that he was starting his new venture. I mean, he's made a lot of wrong calls.
But you don't have to, like, for that type of viewpoint, you don't have to be hammered or have a substance abuse problem to want to do that. That is on his volition. He was sober when he did that. I remember when that show launched, and it was
When he made the announcement about his show. How did that go down? I don't remember.
Had this gentleman as a guest in the past, and they had a connection, and that was his only outlet at the time. Not everybody was having him on.
And was this guy like a white power dude?
It was certainly a website that wasn't all inclusive. He had his political leanings, which were very conservative, and his racial outlook.
What time was he on the Big O and Duke show? I'm kidding. Good night. Good night, everybody.
My logic is the only reason he's in rehab is I really don't think he has a substance abuse problem. I think he got into hot water legally, and that's what everybody's speculating. And he's going to rehab because he wants to get ahead of this before it goes to court.
It'll give him a card to play.
Yes.
But I don't care about the substance issue as much as... You will admit the guy has had some pretty severe missteps along the way.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that I just don't know. I mean, it looks to me, here's a guy that's cruising along, has this, wonderful career, and he's doing it. And I've been there. I've talked to friends of mine that are far more successful than I am, that it puts a different kind. Everybody assumes that because you're doing national television, or you have a national radio show, you're on Sirius or whatever, that it's just like having a restaurant. Everybody thinks like everything's great, everything's wonderful. And I think from that standpoint, that also might create a bad... That's why you see so many movie actors, especially child actors, that get so squirrely and...
When there's
a fall from grace. Yeah. It happens. I forgot what the percentage is. It's an overwhelming percentage because they're in this... It's an abnormal way, in my opinion, to make a living. There are plenty of other businesses that have equal or more pressure. You want to land a jet on an aircraft carrier? Show me. I'll talk about pressure.
Pressure. Yeah.
But it's just squirrely, and that's why I think effed up people are drawn to it. Hi, everybody. And I think effed up people can get worse, not better, even when they achieve what they might consider.
It gives them a license to do what they want. And look, to give you some perspective on I personally haven't. I can't speak for anybody else, but I would never know what it feels like to have a fall from grace. Like, and I would say, as far as Opie is concerned, he landed on his feet because when he launched that network, they had thousands of subscribers, and it's only a subscription-based business.
Mm-hmm.
So he's still covering his nut as big as it is, right? Mm-hmm. That was just his transition. Where I thought he went wrong personally, and I can't speak to what his business is, but I would say that at that point, you would think that you realize that you are on what is basically an owner-operated business, and you have to watch your P's and Q's more than you would ever have to when you have a big corporation on your back.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
You mean are you talking about his podcast?
As far as his show. Yeah. So if there are racist undertones, if there are racial undertones, maybe that's not the time to double down on them when you start your show, because
you got no one behind you.
There's no one behind you. You're the only one that's writing that check.
Right.
Right.
Right. Right. So yeah. if you've got that issue, which then turns into kind of a I would say a promotional fiasco, when him and his girlfriend get in a fight and a video is posted online where he is alleged to have attacked her, then you really have to double down and say, oh my God, what am I going to do if I go into rehab? I don't have a co-host right now to take care of the 30 days.
Right.
I have to call on all my friends to step in and lift, do the heavy lifting on my show for 30 days, which he's doing now. He's a bunch of guest hosts.
And
my point is that if you're going to do this, if you're going to continue living your life without rules because you're a celebrity and people allow you to do it, you have to know what's at stake. Everything, especially when you go out on your own, is 10 times harder to achieve.
And when you see the launch that he had and the really sort of mind-bending set and technology that he had, he obviously thought
more
everything...
money than when we started, that's for
sure. Oh, my God.
He has a studio in New York City now where people go and do the show.
But it's obviously he thought everything through except the fact that he has to provide a show.
It's tough.
And you know, it's scary that he could be deluded in such a way that he says...
Yeah, and again, I don't know exactly what happened because you only see a perspective of the aftermath on that video, and I've watched it half a dozen times because that's just, I'm a radiophile and you'll watch that. But I feel like, regardless of Anthony's situation, I feel like there's a lot of guys, and Mike, we've grown up with them in the business, that they already have these proclivities to do whatever they want and abuse substance, whether it's alcohol or drugs. And when you get in this business, All you're pushed into is alcohol, and then eventually there are drugs around, right?
Sure.
So if people expect you to be that guy anyways, and no one's really questioning you or keeping you honest about what's actually happening.
And further, you don't answer to a corporation.
You don't.
No.
You can do what you want.
Yeah, I mean, so you're saying in a way it kind of creates
a perfect storm.
Person. Yeah. A perfect storm of creating a person that's going to be incredibly self-destructive. I don't know. I was sitting there, I walked up to, my wife and I were having dinner down in Fort Myers, and we walked in and we're sitting at the bar and ordered our beer and a sandwich, and we're sitting next to this guy, and I start chatting with him, and he came across as kind of aloof, you know, when you meet somebody, you just make small talk, but then they don't want to have anything to do with you, and then he starts talking to us. And it turns out this guy that didn't look like anything. He kind of looked like Clint Howard with a one-day growth of beard.
Handsome.
Only younger. Mm-hmm. And so he starts talking. He's from France. And, you know, I'll be honest with you, Carl and I probably do. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, as he continues to chat, he mentions, we got on the subject of D.C., and he mentions that he got his medical degree at Johns Hopkins. And he has he's a cardiologist. And that he pivoted from that to now where he is passionate about doing research for pancreatic cancer. And I walked away from that conversation saying to myself, it's stunning to me, it still stuns me, how we glorify certain people in this world and who gets all the attention. It'll never change. So I'm just venting here and I'm just bitching.
Right.
And the fact that I get thousands of people that, you know, wish me well when my mom passes away, it's great. Don't get me wrong. I love it. I know, but I'm part of that. There are people out there that are literally, just think of this guy going to work every single day and trying to cure one of the most insidious cancers that exists. And I thought, you know, you never, ever, no one, there's so much great stuff going on in this country with behind the scenes, with people, doctors, social workers, people helping others, saints that are putting their life, going into inner cities, and no one gets, and they just toil away in total and complete obscurity while Kim Kardashian's ass gets 50 million. And that's not, I don't think it'll ever change. It's probably been that way forever, but it doesn't have to be, make me feel good. You know what I mean?
But Mike, I think that what we'll never understand in this room, and I'm being candid here, is that those people that do that, doctors in general and the way that they're made up, researchers, they don't need what we need to continue doing.
Yeah, they're not looking for any kind of recognition.
That's not what feeds them.
It's inside. It's inside. It's that personal. It's that personal struggle.
They don't need
they
the likes. They don't need how many people saw their post. They don't need how many people saw their. They don't need any of that because that's not the way they're built.
And someday he may actually cure that disease. And meanwhile, everyone else that's in radio will never be happy.
Well, I got home and I wanted to send a donation out to the American Cancer Society right away because, I mean,
excellent.
The fact that it's nice to know that there are people there and the strides they've already met on certain cancers that, you know, that they can get, colon cancer being a great example of stuff that they've made progress. This, there, these, you know, I said, man, just walking away. And I said to my wife, well, that's a hero. That's a hero, in my opinion. That's somebody that's phenomenal, a great human being for what he's doing.
I would go as far as to say if he had some sort of breakthrough, that doctor, he would never post it on Facebook. It wouldn't be his style.
Never.
No,
wouldn't do
he's
that.
He's more of a Snapchat guy.
That's right. Instagram.
And besides, it's more interesting that Anthony Kamiya is going to rehab.
Of course.
Anyway, we'll take a break. I don't know what that was. Just a vent. But anyway, we'll take a break. Come back with news you may not need. You are listening to the Mike O'Mara Show Marathon.
Hey, if you're looking for podcast perfection, check out The Rob and Joe Show.
It's The Rob and Joe Show. Listen to It's The Rob and Joe. It's The Rob and Joe Show. Listen every week for new episodes. Damn it. It's The Rob and Joe Show. New episode. Me. It's The Rob and Joe Show. New episode every week. RobandJoeShow.com. Subscribe on iTunes and check us out on the TMOS app.
I saw Rob yesterday.
Did you?
How is he doing? Is he married yet?
No, he's not married, but he killed, apparently. We don't know all the details yet.
Oh, the new TV show.
Yes. Kevin Hart filmed his new TV show in DuPont Circle last night.
Yes.
And I didn't see Rob per se, but my girlfriend's yoga studio is right next to that place.
Well, how was the crowd?
And it was, look, there were cars everywhere double parked, right?
Right.
But it's called Funny is Funny, and he was one of the contestants on that show.
Yeah.
Oh, I'd love to hear. Well, let's see if we can reach out to him. I'd love to get him. I'd love to get those guys back on. They're a lot.
Okay, have him in next week. I'm actually going to see him. He's playing at the Tally Ho in Leesburg,
Tally-ho!
I believe, next Friday. So check your listing. So I'll be there for that show.
And then they're coming down to Florida to play the Tally Whacker.
Bang!
Anyway, thank you. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Have you ever wondered why the drugstore keeps their razors locked inside a plexiglass case? I've always thought that was kind of ridiculous.
Odd, right?
I mean, really weird. It's because, well, they're so overpriced that people actually steal them. That's one of the reasons they do it, because they're ridiculously priced. It's obvious these drugstore razors cost too much, which is why two guys just like you started Harry's.com. They wanted to sell high-quality blades that provide a close, comfortable shave for half the price that you're used to. And did I mention the greatest shave gel ever used
the
in the world? You can't beat Harry's quality. German-engineered five-blade cartridges are the best. No burn, 100% guaranteed, and a full refund if you're not happy. And price... With no middleman, Harry's blades are half the price of the leading brands. Plus, it's convenient. They will be shipped straight to your door and no more unlocking the plexiglass case. Find out what you need and check out in 30 seconds at Harry's.com. The starter set, it's called the Truman.
Well, yes.
No, I'm sorry. The starter set
Buck stops
is
here.
The
I think they're probably going for the president, not the
I'm
writer.
I'm so sorry. Okay. Not Capote. President, not Capote. The starter set... called the Truman. It's just like you said it would be, Rob.
That's right.
The starter set is called the Truman. It's a great option and an amazing deal. I don't care. If they like it, they like it. If they don't, they don't.
It's a razor, moisturizing shave cream, and 3 5-blade German-engineered razors for just $15.
He wrote a book called In Cold Blood, Oscar. Ooh, Truman Capote.
Harry's will shave. $5 off your first order with the promo code TMOS. If I have to recut this, I will. This is for Rob.
I think it's good.
Go to Harry's.com right now. That's HARRYS.com. And make sure to use the TMOS code so they know who sent you. Thank you, man.
Thank you, Drew.
News. One of the great point, yes, sir, Oscar Santana.
Breaking news.
That's like I was jumping out of the gate and all of a sudden he hog collared me.
Yes. Cameron Hughes Golf Club.
Yeah.
What's that?
Cameron Hughes Golf Club.
Yes.
Is selling 3 golf carts, $249.99 firm. You can get one today. Do you want one, Mike? Should I reserve one?
No. That is a negative. That is, they are gas powered. I only can use electric down
here. All right. What about your father?
Oh, no, my dad's good. He just re-upped last year. Got a new one. Traded in.
By the way, I love Jason Hill, and I love Cameron Hughes. I love everything about down
Cameron
there.
Hills.
Cameron Hills. Not Cameron,
Cameron Hughes.
Hughes
is the what made you
that's
say Cameron Hughes. That's right.
That's the wine that is on the show occasionally. Do you guys remember when we rode in those down at the golf tournament?
I do. I just, as a matter of fact, my chiropractor just said I'd been cured.
Thank you. Exactly.
Oh my God.
One of the great pointless debates of modern life is the right way to hang a roll of toilet paper. That is our lead story
today. Yes, of course. Over or under?
Do you go with the over where the paper hangs in the front or under where the paper hangs in the back? Well, believe it or not, a therapist ran a study on 2,000 people to see if the way you hang toilet paper is a window into your personality.
Really?
And she actually did find one. She found a connection. People who put toilet paper rolls on the over style are more dominant.
Yeah.
I do it. That's the way I've always done it. People who hang the roll under are more submissive. But to be honest, if I'm putting it there, I probably put it over, but I probably also don't pay attention to it that much.
You know, Mike, it's an absolute tie for us. That's what it is. If I had to choose, I'd say over, but if there's urgency in play.
You're like, oh, man, I can't walk in the hall. There's got to be another roll here.
Anyway, you do it. Do you put yours in there? Or I see with you, I picture Shannon putting
Shannon
it in there.
Shannon takes care of those things,
course.
Mike.
Not just the putting it up, but the using of it as well.
Shannon,
I'm ready.
She knows what's good for her.
She also found that the over people are so dominant, sometimes they actually switch the paper at other people's houses if it's under style.
You know who's very, very, very important with that is Katie. Katie has yelled at me when she's seen toilet paper at
OCD,
my house.
OCD, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Is she an over person?
She's an over person.
Mm-hmm. Very good. For what it's worth, last year someone actually dug up the original toilet paper roll patent from 1891 and found that in the drawings, the roll is in the over style. So that's the traditional way to do it, ladies and gentlemen.
So toilet paper wasn't like a thing until the 1890s?
Yeah, no. Yes.
Before that, until then, people used their fingernails.
Of course.
Leaves.
Mr. President.
The average cost of a wedding was recently estimated at about $32,000. This speaks to Mr. Santana.
Yes.
Not surprisingly, that's just a fraction of what celebrities cough up when they get married. Here's what your money would buy at one of their weddings.
Okay.
George and Amal Clooney threw down $30,000 just on dinner. That's also the price.
I've done that, but not for a wedding, just when I go out.
That is also the price of the Casamigos tequila they had on hand, but that was all free since George is part owner of the company.
But sure.
Jessica Simpson paid $30,000 just to rent out the San Ysidro Ranch for the ceremony and reception. The whole wedding cost $1.4 million.
Boom, jeez. Bam.
Wow.
Eddie and Nicole Murphy paid $25,000 just for their cake. Now, there's the racket of
records. Damn.
25 Daniel. Grand. Damn, Daniel.
Damn, Eddie at it again with the white cake.
that was back in 93. By contrast, Chelsea Clinton's cake was a mere 12 grand, and it was gluten-free. It's a lot of cake.
Yeah.
What a racket. What a the wedding racket.
You ever eat gluten-free cake? Phooey.
Yeah, what's the point?
Yeah.
I'm not sure anything at Kim Kardashian and Kanye West's wedding cost as little as $30,000.
Wonder how she does her toilet paper.
Double stitch. I don't know what that means. The flowers for Kanye and Kim were $136,000. Zoe Saldana's engagement ring reportedly cost around $32,000, and that's kind of cheap by celebrity standards. And Joanna Krupa. Who the hell is Joanna Krupa?
A famous drummer, Mike.
Krupa.
Oh, no, that's Jean Krupa.
Actress.
Jesus Christ. You're 10 years younger than I am, for God's sake.
Not really. Mike, it's time you knew. I'm 70.
She's
Krupa.
An actress.
Okay.
Really, a model. A model.
She wore a $30,000 dress when she walked the aisle in 2013. So that'll make everybody
depressed. Real Housewives of Miami.
I bet she left the receipts on it and returned it.
The blonde in it, Mike. The blonde in it.
Last week, the National Enquirer revealed that it has a recording of Charlie Sheen threatening to have his ex-fiance, Brett Rossi, killed. It's still, speaking of bad decisions.
That's rough.
He really, really, just when you think, it's safe.
Right. She's suing him for assault, battery, and HIV exposure. On the tape, Charlie says that what Brett did is punishable by death and that he'd like to pay $20,000 to have her, quote, head kicked in.
Charlie.
Well, the cops aren't just blowing this off as Charlie's usual brand of crazy. The LAPD's threat management unit is investigating him. They even obtained a search warrant for a particular property. We're assuming Charlie's house, where they suspect they'll find evidence of criminal activity. Charlie's people haven't commented in the investigation, but they've said Rossi is lying, and her lawsuit is just revenge for Charlie breaking off their engagement and cutting her off financially.
Oh, so it was a financial cut. cut off, not a head cut off.
All garbage cans.
Merle Haggard. Anyway, Us Magazine claims Miley Cyrus totally butted heads with Adam Levine while she was an advisor on The Voice this season. Apparently, the problem is that they're too similar.
Yeah.
This sounds manufactured. Yeah,
they both have heavy beards.
A source says, quote, they both have short attention spans and they find each other annoying.
I believe the short attention span.
I can believe it, yes.
Look at the clouds.
Well, he's also... Look, Miley's probably used to every man in the world just sniffing around, right?
Right.
And
absolutely.
Adam doesn't have to do that.
Doesn't have to even come close
not
to
not even.
Do you know why, Mike? Because he's dreamy.
Yes, he is.
Yes.
He's no Bobby Cannavale, though.
I don't know. I think I might take him. Yeah, I might take him over Bobby.
Adam would get agitated when she'd interrupt him. She enjoyed getting under his skin. She got along fine with Blake Shelton, though.
Miley, how are you? Do you like my licorice hat? I can get you free pizza at Pizza Hut.
This could feel like a tabloid story, but it is true. If it's true, it could be a problem because Miley's coming back next season as a coach, and it might not matter at all. Oh. Miley and Adam haven't commented, so who knows what they... Maybe they're just generating some heat for the show. An employee at a casino in Saxony-Anhalt, Germany, heard a ticking and a buzzing sound coming out of a trash can in a men's bathroom on Tuesday night, and she immediately thought, bomb!
Of course.
Bomb. Maddie.
You said bomb in a Nazi stronghold.
The cops swarmed the casino. Everyone was evacuated. Traffic was blocked off, and the bomb squad went in to check it out. Well, the bomb turned out to be a man's vibrating penis ring.
Oh, no.
Hello.
Those don't tick.
Yeah.
It's not clear who it belonged to, why he threw it in the trash.
Captain Hook. Man.
How it got turned on, or why he had it with him at a casino.
Pony just went so obscure it took me a second.
I don't get the Captain Hook reference.
Hook was chasing the ticking crocodile that had the alarm clock in its stomach.
You know, with a baby in the house that watches Jake and the Neverland Pirates. I thank you, sir. Very good. And now a little something something. 25-year-old Jonathan Hewitt of Green Acres, Florida, broke into a house last month and stole a gun and two watches. There was a surveillance camera running, and Jonathan covered up his
face.
But he left his neck exposed. His neck had a badass tattoo on it. It says Red Rum in cursive. Red Rum is murder backwards, as you might know from The Shining.
Sure.
Or because you're just all about that world play. The person he robbed recognized Jonathan as a friend of a former roommate. And when the cops went to see him earlier this week, they saw the Red Rum neck tattoo, which sealed the deal. He was arrested on several charges, including armed burglary, possession of a firearm by a convicted felon. And as he was being taken away, he was heard to say,
thank you, Mrs. Torrance.
That's all I got. We'll take a break. Come back with the audio vault. Rob Spiewak right here on the Mike O'Meara Show.
I'm Maddie, and this is my internship. Hey. I experience it 1 week at a time with the Mike O'Meara Show. March 11th, 2016, the day Rob Ford delves into his relationship drama on The Bonus Show. The day TMOS listeners lost faith in humanity. The Bonus Show reveals truths about the TMOS characters that never fail to entertain. But this one left me with so many questions. What drugs did Rofo slip to his ex to get her to date him in the first place? Do people not tell him that he has a face for radio? Is this really how guys talk about their girlfriends to other guys? And how the hell did Rofo land a relationship when I can't? While I don't think I will ever get answers to these questions, I'm glad I'm at least informed enough to ask them. There's only one way to get unfiltered access to the intimate details in the lives of the TMOS gang. Subscribe to the Mike O'Meara Bonus Show so Rofo and the rest of the crew can disappoint you too. More to come.
That's fantastic. Love Thank it. You, Maddie. I love our interns. Welcome back to the Mike O'Meara Show. Are you a good TMOS listener or a bad TMOS listener? If you are a good TMOS listener, you've been shopping through our Amazon portal. That's good. You see, anytime you purchase something through our Amazon link, we get a tiny percentage. It doesn't cost you any extra, and it is the best and easiest way for you to support this show. Very, very good. Bad listeners don't shop at Amazon, and they are usually rude, discourteous, and mistreat animals. That is very bad.
Bad.
If they were good, they'd bookmark our Amazon link and use it like crazy. Remember, if you need or want it, Amazon has it. Go to MikeOMaraShow.com/Amazon or click the Amazon button on our website. Or simply use the TMOS app and click on the shopping cart. You see, that's a shopping cart designed for you to put things in.
Ripping joke.
Buy online at a fabulous price. Then shop like you normally would. It's that simple. It means the world to us. The world. Isn't the world a great place to be?
World, world.
Yeah, it's wonderful. So anyway, thank you, friend. Thank you.
Friend. Good.
Let's open up the audio vault for Thursday, April 7th, 2016, Merle Haggard.
Mike, I know you follow the funny car races, don't you?
Oh, all the time. I love that, man, because it's like the frame of a dragster, and on top they can put up just about anything, like the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile.
But the thing that's so cool is that they do get coverage sometimes on the Fox Sports Network, and one of the leading funny car racers of all time is named John Force. And their story yesterday is that John Force is on Twitter.
Yes.
And perhaps against the producers, better judgment, they asked John Force about Twitter. This interview is almost enough to make me watch funny car coverage. Let's go now to the clip.
John, you have close to 14,000 followers already. You're not following anyone yet. Who's going to be your first follow?
Who's going to be what?
Who's going to be your first follow on Twitter?
My first follower? I don't even know how that works. I just got this phone a month ago. I used to have an old click open, one of them old types. You know what I mean? And, you know, I type good, but I broke my fingers and stuff, and I'm kind of screwed up from my crash, so it's hard for me to find them little buttons. So I'm calling Elon every day to do at least two a day. But, no, I don't know how it works. I thought the Apple meant it was lunch because I thought I had a Verizon phone. Now I find out it's an Apple phone. So it don't matter to me. I'm going to have some fun. I hope I don't hurt nobody's feelings. That's what scares me most.
Sure.
Because I want to say to you out there, I'm terrified of you, and I ain't afraid of nothing.
That's right.
There you go. Attaboy.
He puts the
done.
Funny in funny car.
That That's was so fantastic. Honest, at least.
Yes,
that was,
it was.
That was so honest. He didn't try to fabricate that he knew what was going on.
I would say it's a pretty safe bet. He didn't fabricate nothing.
No, nothing. Nothing. Not since his wreck. His fingers right. don't work
I thought
good.
I had a Verizon phone. It turns out to be an Apple.
But I thought that was lunch.
Everything.
Duh.
This was trending on Facebook yesterday. And it's something that I've done before, and it works so well. Well, on this song, they break a song down by tracks. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So there's like the guitar track, the drum track, the singer's track, and then they move them around. On this one, it's the song Smash Mouth All Star. You know it from the movie Shrek.
Hey now,
yeah, you're All Star. Get yeah. your game on. And if you make every track at a slightly different tempo,
get your game on.
It starts out okay, and then it falls apart. Let's see how long you last on this, Mike.
Somebody once told me the world is gonna roll me. I ain't the sharpest tool in the shed. She was looking kind of dumb with her finger and her thumb in the shape of an L on her forehead. Well, the years start coming and the years start coming. The running,
how do you like my band?
Yeah, it's good, Charlie. We can listen until Mike blows it up, but it just keeps getting worse.
Can we do another take, please?
But you can find that online. But it's something you can do at home as well. I found it particularly funny. There's an Angry Birds movie coming out, ooh, which is great.
Oh, I wanted to stop you. Your buddy Johnny Midnight. Did you see the video that he posted with the lady singing gospel?
He does that about every 6 months. Jesus. Isn't that great?
Oh, my God. That's the funniest thing I've seen. That was I put capital letters LMFAO !! I love that.
He has been red hot this week. Brad has been funny this
God,
week.
Brad, that was so funny. I would have appreciated an acknowledgement of the post.
He's very busy. Funny but busy. The Angry Birds movie is coming out, and they've hired some names for it. Sean Penn does a voice in it.
Oh.
And he does the voice of a character named Terrence, but here's the deal. Sean Penn, noted actor, good actor, right?
Absolutely.
All he does in the movie is grunt.
This is Terrence.
These guys are all nuts, huh, big man?
That's Sean Penn. Just the noise.
That guy got a paycheck for that.
Man, oh man, oh man.
Good talk.
Wow.
Makes me embittered.
Nice chatting with you.
I'm pissed. And yeah. I don't get pissed about
nothing
things.
Else other than the grunting?
He just does that.
Jeez.
I know.
A bunch of jerks.
What a bunch of jerks.
Yeah. Man, I tell you, they don't know nothing in Hollywood.
Are you sure that was Sean Penn and not El Chapo?
I would have to double check my notes. good news for rock and roll enthusiasts everywhere. The Rolling Stones are back in the studio working on a new album.
The Rolling Stones are preparing to release their first studio album in over a decade. Oh? Yeah. Rolling Stones. Crazy. The album will be available to stream on demand. Something the Rolling Stones haven't been able to do since 1995.
Oh, Charlie Watts. That's your Magic Audio Vault. Have a great Thursday, everybody.
That's it. Another Mike O'Mara Show has come and gone. Be sure and join us again for more fun and more thrills at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
I gotta dry off.
Bobby.
Want to correspond with the Mike O'Mara Show with a letter or package, send it to TMOS, Box 2796, Leesburg, Virginia, 20177. That's where all the best Russian headphones come from. To get your message or birthday request into the Wednesday mailbag, send it along to Rob at MikeO'MaraShow.com. Include the two B's. And don't forget to take our survey. Just click the banner at MikeO'MaraShow.com. It means a lot to us. We rely on your word of mouth. Tell a friend or family member about TMOS and make sure they get it too. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, Mike O'Mara saying, so long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao.
One last thing. Please remember that MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon is the best way to shop for anything and everything. So, shop Amazon and get there through our website. Always open at MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon. Now, go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.